week 8, day 3. Today's scripture reading is Matthew 3, verses 1 through 17. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and his leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased." John 1:19-34. And this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I'm not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, "Then why are you baptizing, if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water and said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and I've borne witness that this is the Son of God." The Best Man by Woody Gates. One of the hardest things to watch is a bad wedding speech. If you've been to enough weddings, chances are you know what I'm talking about. There are plenty of ways to butcher a wedding toast. Some might ramble a little too long, include stories that aren't quite appropriate, or tell inside jokes that leaves guests feeling left out. But nothing is worse than when the best man makes it all about himself. He fishes for laughs, talks more about his own stories and memories than the couple, and often makes jokes at the expense of the bride and groom. In my humble opinion, it is a complete failure to fulfill the duties of the best man. So then, what is a best man supposed to do? His role is simple yet significant: to honor and lift up the couple. A great wedding speech isn't about the speaker. It shines a light on the love, character, and story of the bride and groom. The greatest toasts come from someone who genuinely loves the couple and just wants the entire room to feel the same. You may be familiar with the metaphor in which Christ is the groom and the church is his bride. In radical love, Jesus has chosen the church, us, to live with in a loving relationship. And John the Baptist is the greatest best man in history. He points to the coming bridegroom with utter reverence and celebration. In everything that he does, whether preaching, baptizing, or eating locusts, he can't help but point to the one who is to come. Let's take another look at Matthew 3:11-12. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff will burn with unquenchable fire." Take note of John's humility along with his role recognition. John the Baptist had a clear understanding that God alone offers forgiveness of sin and can bring people into the kingdom of heaven. We too are not the groom. We're not the center of the story. Like John the Baptist, our role is to point to Jesus, and that's not always easy. Pride comes naturally, self-centeredness is in our bones, we're broken people tempted to steal the spotlight. God, on the other hand, is the very essence of sacrificial love, and that's exactly why it is so much better to be the best man, pointing to the perfect love of Christ. Question 1. In what ways do you catch yourself building upon your own ego rather than building up the church? Question 2. Where is God calling you to build up the church, Christ's bride? Question 3. What are the places and spaces that God may be calling you to share the gospel and point to Jesus? Daily prayer. Lord, show me how I can glorify you. Forgive me for when I've tried to build myself up rather than your kingdom. Amen.